I'm so special, I'm so special, so special, so special. That's why I'm strapped with my 45 special. Boy, I pray this together, they want to chase like petal. Thank you. I'm so special, so special, so special. Tell them enough fear, too fierce expression. Guy, for no, nothing more can't chase like petal.
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm Mike, I am your host this week, and with me, as always, every week, well,
and all of your favorite jazz,
it's standards
all night long.
Welcome to the Quiet Storm with Beer Coaster Mike.
Smooth beer talk all the
time. Yeah, ladies.
Oh, yeah. Lines are open, ladies. Who else is with me here? Introduce yourselves.
Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada.
And Chris from Dallas, Texas.
All right, this week we have special releases.
Hey, special.
Because it's a special show.
Isn't that special?
Specially designed so we could actually try the beer that we're going to try today. Because we needed to fit it in somewhere. So here it is. And that beer this week is Stone Brewing Company's Vertical Epic Ale. It is their 9909, being September 9th, 2009. I was going to say 1909. Now that would be a beer to try.
That would be awesome.
Whoa. Crazy.
So, we can't really talk about the style this week, being special releases, because it's basically just that. It's either a particular reserve that comes out a certain time of year, or one that just comes out specifically for the season or the month, or whatever the case may be. In this case, it's every year for Stone.
Every 13 months.
Yes. Yep. Which I'll go on and one describe more of that in the fermentation conversation. Then, of course, we go on to our up topics. Our tasting flight this week is, let's see, Toby, what do you got for us?
I'm trying Deschutes Brewing Company's Mirror Mirror.
All right. Mirror?
Mirror.
Mirror.
Chris,
Mirror.
What's your tasting flight this week?
I am doing St. Arnold's Divine Reserve number 8.
All hail St. Arnold.
That's right.
We got to put it in there.
Yeah.
And for this week, I'm going to try Harpoon's 100 Barrel Series again, although it is a different session. This is session number 28, the Glacier Harvest 09 Wet Hop Ale.
Sweet.
I'm excited to try it because the Glacier Hop, I haven't had anything by them, haven't had any beer with Glacier Hop in it, so I'm looking forward to it. We've got the Tweet of the Week and Backwash and Last Call. Before we get into the next segment, is there anything, how was everybody's Halloween? Got anything to talk about?
It was good.
Excellent.
Any good beers over Halloween?
I did the pumpkin again. The Dogfish Head, which is just tasty.
I finally got it.
Did you? Yeah, like
I got it a week too late. Right. But yeah, we finally got it, and I had that last night.
How was it?
Good. Very nice. Yeah. There's a lot more refreshing than
Exactly. Yeah. That's what surprised me about it.
Yeah, it was one of those things where if we had that show to do over again, I was telling Chris off mic earlier that I would probably change my reviews, but they're cast in stone now, so.
Yep.
But,
sweet.
Yeah.
Can we drink some Vertical Epic?
Yes, please.
I guess we can do that.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. Gonna drink some beer, since the fermentation conversation,
All right, we're gonna drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it.
Hey, we said how this is a
good.
We said we said how this is a special show.
Oh, it's special.
Why is it a special show?
I'll tell you why it's a special show.
Because...
What?
It's the half year mark.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. It's even more
special.
Episode
26.
Episode 26. We have officially been airing for 6 months with nobody listening.
Yay! Well, crazy day.
Yeah, crazy day.
We have some listeners.
No, I'm just kidding.
We're not going to discount that. We have some listeners.
We can count them on one hand. Let's say that.
We have some very loyal listeners.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all that counts.
That's right. That's why we keep doing it.
This one's for you, Charlie and Crazy Dave.
We do it so we can keep drinking beer.
Talking about it.
Speaking of beer, this week, we, like I said in the intro, we are trying Stone Brewing Company's Vertical Epic Ale. This is their 9909.
About to get all vertical on that.
Sorry.
This is from Stone Brewing Company out of Escondido, California. Their website is www.stonebrew.com. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Epic Vertical Epic series, if no one knows about it. In 2002, Stone has been released, since 2002, Stone's been releasing 11 beers under the Stone Vertical Epic Ale header. Each one uses a different recipe and are designed to, when they're released, like when all the releases are complete, they will each complement each other in a partnered tasting of their, you know, their vertical tasting, which is each year you'll be able to try each one and they'll be kind of at their peak of aging.
Right.
And each beer is released 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day apart, being, you know, February 2nd, 2002, March 3rd, 03, et cetera, et cetera.
So the idea is on December 12th, 2012, you're supposed to have this big party where you crack them all open and do this sort of vertical tasting of all of them.
Right.
Yeah. So the idea behind it is that on December 12th, 2012, you have this this sort of vertical tasting of all of the entire line going from 02, 02, 02, all the way up through 12, 12, 12. Of course, you'll have to do that within, like, what is it? 10 days or so, because everybody knows that the world ends on December 21st, 2012.
Oh, that's right.
So you really got to get it in there before that yeah. final before countdown. The end
of
the world. So
it'll be one hell of a way to go out.
That's right. That's the way I want to go out. So if you want more information on the Vertical Epic idea and how it came about, you can go to stonebrew.com/epic/FAQ, and it'll give you, it's like a bunch of frequently asked questions, and it gives you a lot more insight on the Vertical Epic.
What does FAQ
stand
for?
This one that we are trying, the style is actually an Imperial Porter with tangerine peel and vanilla and dark candy sugars, and they use French oak chips in this one as well. Sounds good. The hops they use are Pearl and Magnum. The malts, they use like six different kinds of malts. Pale, Crystal, Belgian Aromatic, Chocolate, Black, and Dehusk Black. The ABV on this beer is 8.6. The IBUs are 50. Rate Beer rates this a 95 out of 100. And the Beer Advocate users rate this an A-. And the Ahlstrom brothers have not weighed in on this beer.
Gotta Let's crack them open.
Do it.
Ooh. Dark and chocolatey and lovely.
Ooh, incredible head.
Yeah, it's got a nice big head on it. That sounded so wrong.
Very tan.
Yes. A dark brown color. A little bit of ruby highlights. A little bit, not much.
Yeah.
Looks to be nicely carbonated.
I would say. Like, my fine, head is, I got a good like four fingers of head right now, so I have to let mine settle.
At about three. I'm using a tulip.
I'm getting definitely right off the bat.
Right off the bat, I'm definitely getting some orange.
I'm getting kind of that what is it? You know that chocolate orange?
Yeah, the little ball that you'd candy smash. Yeah.
It smells a little bit like that.
And some coffee, too. It's almost like an orange, chocolate orange coffee.
Yeah, that roasted coffee note.
You can actually smell the Belgian yeast in this one.
And am I picking up on the oak chips, too?
Yeah.
Possibly.
I get a little banana, probably from that Belgian yeast.
Yeah, banana. Yeah. Definitely.
Some cloves.
It is very like a caramely banana.
Almost a smokiness, too.
There's a lot of.
We still can't
take
a sip
going
of
on.
It's still. My four fingers of head went to three fingers. It's not dissipating quickly
good.
At all.
I'm taking a sip. I ain't waiting for you.
All right. You guys can be a step ahead of me here and I'm gonna let this head settle down a little bit.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, the hops come out.
Could you elaborate on that?
Good hoppiness.
Yeah, as soon as I take another sip.
There's a good astringent hoppiness to it.
Yeah, there's quite a bit more bite than I expected there to be.
Yeah.
It's malty and bready.
There's a sweetness to it.
The orange.
Yeah.
The tangerine peel or the orange is there.
Mm. Almost has a smoky sweetness to it. Almost like a smoked chocolate.
Ooh, smoked chocolate.
Trademark of the Beer Coasters Podcast.
I'm kind of quiet.
The hops is there, but it's kind of mild.
I'm trying to.
Takes a back seat to. The Belgian yeast is big time in this right now. Pretty
this
complex.
Is, very complex, very. But yet it's a little bit drinkable. You know what I mean? It's
For stone beer, it's actually milder than I would expect it to be. It's still got a good bite. No, it's a bold beer, but yeah, the drinkability level is higher than some other stone beers.
Good
I really like the
too.
Smoky. I guess it's that oak, the probably those oak chip character.
Yeah,
I'm not getting so much in the vanilla realm.
Yeah, me either, which kind of is disappointing for me because I was looking forward to that, and I don't get much vanilla.
Yeah. And they come out with that smoked porter with vanilla you can get sometimes at the brewery, and I was expecting more vanilla, I guess, out of this one.
You know, I bet if you give it a minute, I bet the vanilla will come out.
Yeah, it usually needs to warm up a little bit for that to come through.
Yeah, I mean, I took mine out right in the beginning of the show. And it's still hasn't warmed up that much.
Right.
See, this is one of the reasons why Stone has established itself in the craft beer industry as one of the giants, I guess. I mean, they take all of these crazy ingredients and it all works, you know. There's no conflict. Everything kind of works. And they must do some crazy. I mean, Gina and I were talking about this, about how they must be doing some crazy experimenting. And how long does it take for them to come up with the right recipe?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they come out with some crazy stuff. And imagine the stuff that actually doesn't, that never comes out.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes with, you know, tons of other breweries out there that have these really crazy, adaptations of certain styles or whatever that they do take, they add this special ingredient to it and it works, you know, the vanilla and the orange and the oak chips. It's like, and it works. There's really no,
I honestly though,
you can still pick each one out.
I like this, but at the same time, I don't like it as much as I was hoping I would like it.
Yeah.
I think that, true to the Vertical Epic style, I think over time this will get a lot better because I think there's a lot of bite to it that I wasn't expecting. Yeah. There's a lot more astringency that I wasn't really looking for. I was hoping for something a little creamier, a little more.
Yeah. Like especially with the porter, there should be that element that is a little bit smoother. Yeah.
I was hoping for something a little more mellowed out and smooth like a smooth chocolatey orange taste with the vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I kind of was hoping for, and I'm not really getting that. It's a little bit bolder.
It's dry. It's got a bite.
Yeah, it's very dry.
It's drier. And it's drier.
It's got more of a bite to it than I was hoping for.
It's much drier than the description would lead you to, you know, to be with, you know, the candy sugars and the vanilla and the orange. And
yes.
It's good though.
In 2012, this will probably mellow out nicely. And yeah, I'm very curious.
It'll definitely get put up on my shelf with the rest of them. I don't know how many you guys have of the series. Any?
I have another bottle of this in the fridge. That's about it. I haven't collected them at all.
Because I have 04, 05, 06, 07, 08, and 09 all.
Nice.
Cellaring. Well, sweet. I would say cellaring, kind of sitting on my desk next to everything, but it's in a cool, dark place.
If anybody has seen the Chris's cave. Office, they know it's very, very similar to cellaring.
Yeah.
It's very cool, very dark, very little light gets through, if any. There's a musty smell in there.
It's not a musty smell.
Chicken bones in the corner. Joke.
I kid.
No more birthday parties.
All right.
Mike, you just need to do your live recording from a birthday party.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Do your fermentation conversation at a 6-year-old's birthday party.
So you might have heard a little hiccup here in the audio recording because we forgot to do our food pairing.
We're doing it
so
now.
We're backtracking a bit and going back to do the food pairing. So
what would you pair this with, Toby?
He's got
like a pouring person.
Yeah. I had my own personal pourer.
Awesome.
I would pair it. I could picture myself in a tuxedo at a fine restaurant eating steak dinner.
Right.
With a side of asparagus, with garlic, and
steak dinner.
No rice pilaf, maybe some garlic mashed potatoes, but a nice ribeye steak. Yes.
All right. How about you, Chris?
Oh.
Hello?
Yeah. I don't know. The problem is that I didn't, you know, with only having one bottle of this, it's not like I got to try it beforehand and kind of think about it. So I have, you know, based on this one, it's hard. You know, steak sounds good because there is that roastedness in there. I think it being a porter, I would have liked a little bit more roastiness. So I don't know that if I'd go full on steak. But... Okay. You know, maybe I think would go good with this would be like a good chocolate chili.
Chocolate chili?
Like something. Yeah, you never had chocolate?
No. I've never had chocolate. It must be a Texas
thing. So anyway, whenever I make my chili, chocolate always goes in there. So,
whoa.
Mayans
have been doing it for years, man, and they cannot go wrong. It's chocolate funny that you say that, man. Chris.
It's a new style of Tex-Mex.
My food pairing as well has chocolate in it. I saw a cooking show yesterday and basically think that this is the perfect dish with this. It's a smoked chocolate chipotle baby back ribs.
Ooh.
Baby back.
And that was Primal Grill with Steve Rachlin.
Yes. And if you ever get to watch awesome. This, it's really, really, really cool.
Anybody doesn't know, he's the one that wrote the Barbecue Bible, which is an awesome barbecue book. It's a great book.
If you like our beers, then you'll love his barbecue, period.
Yeah.
Barbecue you.
Great barbecue. Yes, barbecue you.
Gina says vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, that would be a good one, too.
Oh. Yeah. I'll go with that.
Actually, that would be really good because it would help with to mellow out those flavors that I was wanting. So I think a vanilla ice cream would be good to sort of
looking for.
Yeah, and get that creaminess in there. That's a good one. Good mm-hmm. job, Gina.
Good job, Gina.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Hop Topics.
All right. Welcome to Hop Topics. Ring. First up this week is a Toby. What is your hop topic this week?
Oh, yeah.
What you got?
My hop topic is exciting.
Woo.
So, Carl Strauss. Carl Strauss out of San Diego, California. That's
San Diego, California.
San Diego, California.
They are releasing their Big Barrel Double IPA in a 22-ounce bomber. It's their first 22-ounce bottle that they've done. They always, whenever they bottle, it's always six packs of, 12-ounce bottles. It's the Big Barrel Double IPA. It's the initial brew in a new Coastal Reserve series, which I am liking the sound of that. Scheduled to hit the shelves across Southern California in early November, so look for it in SoCal. For this beer, they chose the Nelson Sauvin hops from New Zealand for their intense tropical fruit and white wine-like flavor and aroma.
Didn't somebody
Shout
else
out
just
to
do
the
like
Kiwi
a coastal...
hop growers.
Yeah.
Didn't somebody else just do a coastal something beer? I think it might have been Sierra Nevada. They've been doing a lot of releases lately.
Sierra Nevada uses the New Zealand hops for their Southern Hemisphere harvest.
Yeah, but maybe it wasn't Sierra Nevada, but somebody did a coastal release of some sort. I forget who it was. Anyway.
There's nothing wrong with a little extra release every now and again.
That's right. I'm releasing an extra right now.
So they're going to have a limited run of 600 cases of the Big Barrel Double IPA for sale at retail locations throughout Southern California in early November. They've had a demand for 22-ounce bottles just because, that's kind of the popular thing to do for a lot of breweries is to put their beer in the 22-ouncers.
I'm against it.
Carl Strauss.
What? I find it hard to finish the 22 sometimes, like right
when you're
away.
When you're doing a podcast and each one of your beers is a 22-ouncer.
It's the 22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you know who it was? It was Sam Adams. Sorry, it was Sam Adams did a Coastal Wheat.
Oh.
Ah.
Didn't Bud Light do a Golden Wheat just recently?
Yeah, actually. It's really good.
Oh, how dare you, sir.
Chris, you're fired. Okay.
You're fired. This is the official on-air firing of Beer Coaster Chris.
Pack up your shit and get out.
I'm out.
Okay, so Carl Strauss plans to put out more of their big beers in bombers, so look for the company's holiday offering to the Nines Imperial IPA next Ooh. Month and a unique aged anniversary ale in February. I'm loving it. So
sweet.
The Big Barrel.
Thank you for drinking my beer.
The Big Barrel Double IPA has a 9% ABV and 90 IBUs. So I can't wait to check it out. Carl Strauss, man, they do some cool stuff, and I'm glad that they're putting these kind of cool things in bottles. It's the only other times I've had something other than their, what you can get off the menu at their restaurant. I've had some stuff from them that you can't find at the restaurant that's like, wow, this is good stuff. Anyway, so I'm excited. Can't wait
some
to
of my favorite
check
stuff
out the Coastal
stuff.
Reserve series.
Some of my favorite things are like from the brewery. It's like, hey, this is our barrel age, something or other, or this is what we have on cask that you can't necessarily get in the bottle. Some of the best stuff. Just go straight to the brewery. Straight to the source.
So you can check out karlstrauss.com. That's KARLSTRAUSS.com.
All right. Chris, what you got for us this week?
Oh, now you want me to talk again? I'm no longer fired?
Oh, yeah. Chris, oh, yeah. You have been rehired.
You're rehired.
Sweet. So my story this week...
For the length of this
I'll
podcast.
Be doing a
at least.
Or at least for this segment.
I'll be doing a follow-up on this next week. The story that I have comes from, for all of our conservative listeners, foxnews.com. George Wendt.
Fair and balanced.
Love letter to beer book. To beer book. It's basically George Wendt, who, for those of the that don't know, was Norm on Cheers, has basically had a lifelong love affair with beer and wrote a book about it. It's kind of a beer slash memoir book. He tells Fox News, "I could have written a poem or a Barry White love song or something like this, but I opted for a book instead." So,
nice.
It's sounds like a very interesting book. You know, it sounds like a good insight into Cheers, which is a great TV show about a bar. And so next week I am going to, all things working out, try to do the first ever Beer Coasters book report.
Dun 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 dun.
Great.
Nice. On the name of the book is Drinking with George, a Barstool Professional's Guide to Beer. Awesome. That's my hop topic for the week.
Hop topic.
Right. Well, my hop topic this week comes from New York.
It comes from the Quiet Storm.
This the website is blog.syracuse.com/drinks, and the title of the article is "It's Syracuse Beer Week, and here's what you need to know." Garrett Oliver, for those of you who don't know, is the master brewer at Brooklyn Brewery. He's doing the keynote speech, or is the keynote guest for Syracuse Beer Week. That kicks off at the Genesee Grand Hotel. And after, he'll be heading down to the Empire Brewing Company for a pairing of Brooklyn beers with cheese and chocolate.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh. I can't wait for our Imperial show. So Syracuse Beer Week, if you guys don't know, it's
and a traitor.
100 plus beers related. There's 100 plus beer related events. Wow. I'm sorry. I misread that. So it's actually 100 plus beer related events, not 100 plus beers. It's over 7 days. It says it begins tonight, which if you guys are hearing this, it means it happened, I guess, last week.
In the past.
It actually happens today, which would not be today when you're listening. It's a few days ago. If you want to read the article, like I said, it is a blog.syracuse.com/drinks. And there's a little MP3 you can listen to on the Beer Week edition of the... It basically centers on the Syracuse podcast on the whole event. And there's lots of breweries there, and it's pretty cool. So check it out.
Sweet.
Let's drink
Garrett
some
Oliver,
more beer.
Man, he's the guy... If you ever watch the beer shows on the History Channel, he's always featured on... Yeah. On there. He's like one of
I think the thing is too is because he's one of a handful of brew masters as opposed to head brewers. Yeah. As a brew master, you actually have to go to school for, as opposed to you could be a head brewer of a brewery and not ever had gone to school for it. So I think that he's, you know, it's kind of like the beer doctorate kind of thing. So
yeah. Brew masters.
He's got a PhD in beer.
Brewery.
I need a PhD in beer. Yes.
Oh, we're getting one right
That'd
now.
Be sweet.
Sweet. I wonder if this would count for college credit.
I think it would.
Sweet.
Give it a try, Chris.
At Beer Coasters University, it does. I've been interviewing interns now since we started, so.
Not currently accredited.
All right. Next segment.
More beer.
Yeah. And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we? So, here we are, out in the west side.
West side?
Here in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Beer Coaster Toby. Episode 26.
What are you doing, the intro? Drink your beer.
I'm taking my time. No.
Yeah, because you never do that.
Taking his time to cut the wax off the bottle.
I know. I got to get a knife for this one. So this
is pressing wax here.
This is Deschutes Brewing Company's Mirror Mirror 2009 Brewers Reserve Series.
Mirror Mirror.
That's Deschutes.
The fairest beer of them all.
Deschutes Brewing Company out of Bend, Oregon. They've been brewing since 1988. They're located along the banks of the mighty Deschutes River. That's www.deschutesbrewery.com. And if you want to know how to spell Deschutes, it's Deschutes brewery.com. The style is a barley wine, has an ABV of 11%. Ooh. It has 30 IBUs. And you should serve this at 50 to 55 degrees. And you can find these in the 22-ounce bombers.
Now, warmer.
This, I've just picked this one up. It's actually
finer quality than any wine you could get at that price, for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, it was actually it was bottled in April of 2009, and it says it's best after April of 2010. So it's meant to age for a year, at least.
So you're drinking early.
So this is, yes, I'm drinking it early. This is part of their reserve series, which some of the other beers in their reserve series would include the Dissident, the Black Butte 21, and the Abyss. And I don't know if you guys have seen the Abyss. I've seen it. I haven't tried it yet.
Yes.
Anyway, it's barrel aged, 35% aged in oak barrels. It's I couldn't get any ingredients off of it. Off the website for it.
I bet it has some sort of hop, some sort of malt, and water. Maybe a little bit of yeast.
They use like some free range water too, right?
Well, they're not rogue. So.
Oh, that's right. It's rogue that uses the free range coastal water.
Right. And then the Pac-Man yeast.
So I got to like use a knife to peel off the wax off of this bottle. This might take me a minute. An interesting note is this is their second release. The first one was in February of 06. So it's been a few years since they've actually brewed this beer. So this is a pretty special release beer.
Another interesting note, Toby always has consistently the longest tasting flight segments.
Really?
Another
Can
interesting
you prove
note?
That? What?
Dude, we are 3.5 minutes in. You haven't even opened your beer yet.
He doesn't usually take a sip or even open it until 5 minute mark. So he's doing pretty good.
I'm trying not to get any wax in the beer as I pour it. Ooh, nice deep orange amberish color. Nice head. It's got about a finger and a half of a kind of a light orange head, nice fine bubbles, nice frothy.
Can we see it?
Head,
apple, like an apple juice color.
Yeah, it actually is, Mike. Yeah, well, it kind of has a
seems a little
ruby
darker.
Kind of orangish. Yeah. It actually looks very pretty. There's not any.
He keeps holding it off camera as he talks about it. You notice that?
Gotta be pretty.
He doesn't want to see it.
The thing,
no color.
The name of it's Mirror Mirror. That'd be a pretty beer.
Deschutes says that they're getting better at their barrel aging. So since this is their second version of their barrel aged, they think that this one should be better than the previous one. Mm-hmm. Rate Beer gives us a 97 out of 100. See? The Beer Advocate users gave it an A-, and the Alstrom Brothers gave it an A.
It's funny because we're on our 26th podcast, and I don't know if we're any better.
There's some good maltiness right off the bat on the nose.
Definitely.
Definitely. Right off the bat. Roasted roastiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a sticky, a little fruity maltiness.
On the nose. You haven't actually tasted it yet, correct?
No, the 5 minute mark. I will take a sip. No, it is the 5 minute.
I wasn't saying 21. I was just making sure people understood what you were talking about. Wasn't a slight at you, although one may have been deserved.
We've already done that. taken many stabs.
It's a little lighter than
puncture wounds on Toby right now.
It's a little lighter than I expected. Being a barley wine, it's got this really fruity maltiness to it with a little bit of hops in the background.
Like a barley spritzer?
It's got a little bit of a oily mouthfeel. I guess barley wine is right. It's got the real apple, like the apple skin aftertaste.
Apple, mirror, mirror.
Yeah.
It's starting to all kind of piece together for me.
Real thick, oily mouthfeel. Almost no carbonation.
Which is kind of standard for a barley wine. I mean, you're not going to be overly carbonated with a barley wine.
Yeah. It's not going to be champagne by any means.
You can't really get a lot of the alcohol. I mean, this is 11%. And I mean, you can kind of feel it, but it's not that present.
Not getting that decent warm.
It's actually kind of impressive. For something that high, not to have that, not
it does
the alcohol
have
presence or warming.
It has the warming, but it doesn't have that, you know.
Yeah.
Like when you're.
Yeah,
when you take a sip of.
The fire breathing reaction.
Of, right. We take a sip of like Bigfoot or something like that, you know, from Sierra Nevada, how you kind of have that, some alcohol. So, for a food pairing, I would actually go with something pretty light with a nice herbal touch. I'm going to go with some rosemary chicken.
Ooh, rosemary. I love rosemary.
Like a garlic rosemary chicken.
So you don't think this would be too overpowering for a chicken?
I think that if, you know, with the rosemary in there
and the garlic,
I think it would help. It would
complement. Maybe some other herbs.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's not bad. So that's the 2009 Reserve Series from Deschutes Brewing Company. It's the Mirror Mirror.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
All right.
He's back, bitches.
He's back, bitches. Still.
Gotta say that every time now.
Yeah.
I hear a leaf blower. I don't know if it's going to show up in the audio, but I'm apologizing ahead of time in case it gets closer.
Don't worry about it.
Sweet. For my tasting flight this week, I am drinking St. Arnold's Divine Reserve number 8.
I am a robot stand-in for Chris.
Anybody want to do the St. Arnold?
I am Chris's robot.
No?
I drink beer.
All hail St. Arnold.
There we go. This is from St. Arnold Brewing out of Houston, Texas. The website is www.starnold.com. The style is a Scotch Ale / Wee Heavy. Has an ABV.
Wee heavy.
Yes. The ABV of 9.3%. So a decent little bit of alcohol in there. Ingredients. It's brewed
a
with
bit,
a.
Perhaps?
Yes, a wee bit of alcohol. Of heavy alcohol. It's brewed with a 2-row biscuit. Dark crystal, amber, peated, Care Munich, and wheat malts.
Scots call it a wee bit if it's any less than 10.
Yeah.
it's hopped early with Hallertau Tradition, and then late with Hallertau Herzbrucker hops. The Divine Reserve 8 is fermented with a traditional Scottish ale yeast. It's unfiltered. And it says to enjoy it at 45 degrees or warmer. Quick interesting note, this beer was inspired by Philip Kaufman's winning entry in the 2009 Big Batch Brew Bash. which is a homebrew competition that
where I think
that
at?
Batch Brew Bash and the Beer Coasters podcast.
good question. I'm not sure, Toby. The rate beer rating is a 92. Beer advocates give it, the users give it a B+, and nothing from the Allstrom Brothers.
And this was only bottled a couple months ago, huh?
Yeah.
August 20th.
Nice. Was it just bottled on August 20th? Yeah, so I picked this up a couple weeks
August 20th, ago. 2009.
So with that, I'm going to crack it open. Pouring it into
St. Arnold is like become kind of a good little buddy of the Beer Coasters podcast here. Yeah. We've used him a few times.
And why wouldn't he? He's the patron saint of beer.
Yes.
So on the pour... You know, Toby, kind of the same that you were describing yours, kind of an... orangish color. Mine's kind of dark. Kind of hard to see. Since my
it's a bit lighter than Toby's, but it's hard to tell with lighting and such.
In especially the cave. In the cave slash cellar cave that I'm working in. Yeah. It's got a golden color. Not much head at all. It was about a finger, and it's already dissipated. Although there is some decent lacing going on.
It's like an Edgar Allan Poe poem, The Headless Beer in the Catacombs.
Wow. On the nose, I get alcohol. Quite a bit of alcohol right off the bat.
It's just a wee bit, Dad. Don't worry about
it. Just a wee bit of alcohol.
Yeah.
Just take a sip.
Some alcohol fruitiness in there.
The crickets, I hear.
Yeah. I'm tasting and thinking. The taste,
you know,
I'm
I
getting...
think that...
You know, tasting and thinking's not so much for good radio.
That's where you guys come in to talk while I'm tasting and drinking. And see. Thinking.
Blah, 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 that... blah, 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 blah.
I think that the Big Batch, the Big Batch Brew Bash is held... at the St. Arnold Brewery. So
say that again.
They've given themselves another
Big
award.
Big Bash, Blue Bash.
Sweet. The taste of it, it's kind of strange. There's a definite smokiness to it that I wasn't expecting. Quite a bit of smokiness, actually. The alcohol is like there. The fruitiness is there,
smoky,
in the background.
Kind of like some of the Scotch stuff.
Exactly. It's very much a peat smoke. And I wasn't really expecting as much smokiness.
There's quite beer knowledge on your ass.
There you go. It's weird. It's almost like a Scotch ale mixed with a Rauch beer. It's that smoky.
Mm. Wow.
Ooh.
Rauch.
Oh, we're German Scottish. What's that commercial? Oh, you're Scotch Korean.
I don't know that one.
It's pretty funny. I think it's like Old Spice or something. I can't remember.
Oh yeah, it tastes. It's actually pretty good. I guess I'm just a little taken aback by the smokiness of it. I wasn't expecting that. There's some fruitiness, maybe a little apple.
Surprised, aren't you?
Not much. Yeah, Well, the alcohol is there. But it's not nearly as much as I got when I took in the aroma.
I think I prefer the Quiet Storm, Mike.
If I was going to pair this with something, that smokiness is really coming through. So I think I would go with some sort of barbecue, maybe like a good brisket. Or no, you know what would be good?
We cannot get away from the grill.
No,
it's impossible.
Well, I know. Well, it's beer.
And
a good smoked pork shoulder would go really good with this because you have the apple notes that would lend itself well to pork, as well as the smokiness, which would lend itself to barbecue. So I think a good pork shoulder would go really well with this. barbecue.
Chris
for
dropping the nice. BBQU there you go. On your ass.
Right.
So
sweet.
Okay.
Damn, Chris, you finished in under 8 minutes. Damn you.
And that's with not talking half the time.
All right. My turn.
Sweet.
Thinking and drinking. I guess that works.
Yeah.
Thinking and drinking and... Okay.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, my turn.
If Mike seems particularly bitter during this segment, it's because we were making fun of him off mic. So if he seems upset or like he's going to cry, that's why.
Damn.
Just kidding.
Oh, Mikey.
Mikey.
I don't know if I can. Hey, Mikey,
can I go to the bathroom?
All right, so my beer this week is Harpoon's 100 Barrel Series. It is their Glacier Harvest 09 Wet Hop Ale. This is from Harpoon Brewery out of Boston, Mass. And also they have a brewery in Windsor, Vermont. Their website is www.harpoonbrewery.com. This is part, as I said, this is part of their 100 Barrel Series. And this is Session 28. This is their 09 Glacier Harvest, not their number 20, Session 20 Glacier Harvest, which was the 08. The ABV on this beer is 6.7, and the IBUs are 38. Right Beer did not weigh in on this beer, and Beer Advocate users also did not weigh in this beer, as well as the Allstrom Brothers. They did, however, weigh in on last year's, which is the 08, and I will read you those just to give you some idea of what this beer will hopefully be like. Wow. Rate beer rated last year's as a 65 out of 100, and the Beer Advocate users rate this a B, and the Allstrom Brothers rated it a B as well.
Now, this is the
hops. Go ahead.
Sorry, this is the second that you've done from the 100 Barrel Series, right?
Yes.
What was the other one
I did? The maple.
Oh, that's
maple
right.
Wheat, I
that's
think. Right. Yeah.
So is this once a year, or is this just multiple? So it's not going to
multiple sessions. This like they're on session 28 now, which is this Glacier Harvest. But if you go to the website, you can see all the sessions they've done. They're on session 28 right now, and they brew small batches. Small batches for them being 100 barrels, which. I mean,
quite a bit.
I don't know how small that is actually in comparison to some breweries, but they consider it small batch.
It's pretty small. I think 100 barrels is pretty small.
Yeah. And what else I got here? Obviously, they're using the Glacier hop, which I was really excited about trying. I've not had a beer with Glacier hops, and this is actually Glacier hops only. So I'm looking forward to trying kind of a single wet hop beer.
Wet hop.
And if any of you don't know about wet hopped, I think the Beer Jargon guy's got something to say about wet hop.
I think he does.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is wet hop. Wet hopping is the use of fresh hops that have recently been picked. Because of the moisture content of fresh hops as compared to dry pellets, plugs, or whole hops you might get from a manufacturer, 1 ounce of fresh hops will impart much less bitterness than a comparable mass of the same variety that has been dried.
All right. I hope that clears up wet hopping for you.
Thanks, Beer Jargon guy.
So
he's so
I'm
smart.
I'm going to peel off the foil here, which the bottle has foil on it. And
I feel left out. Mine was just
special,
a,
I guess.
Mine was just a pop top, and you guys got the foil and the wax.
Got
and
my
the,
wax wow. and foil. Oh, and it's got a little interesting harpoon. Cap on it. It's a little different color. It's like black and gold as opposed
Save
to the
that.
Red. So here we go.
chug a lug.
In comparison to what Toby and Chris had for theirs, mine is kind of a true apple juice kind of color. If you guys can see it on camera here, it's a little lighter than what they had. And, they're holding up their beers now.
Cheers.
So, cheers. I can't drink yet, though. I got to smell it and describe it. And...
That's right. Don't you dare drink it.
Wow.
What is this, a beer podcast?
I'm not sure how Glacier hops are supposed to smell, but it has a very citrusy, kind of almost like a cascade type smell to it. With some bready, biscuity kind of malt character to it. I got about a finger or so of head. It's some fairly good lacing. Sounds like a grassy, kind of cascade-y type hop. I'm gonna take a sip. Oh, interesting. It's kind of a light, woody, grassy, almost like a flowery hop taste to it. Little bit of grains in there. We get some oiliness, I'm assuming from wet hopping, but I'm not sure. Maybe even a little caramel to it. And a very light pepperiness. It's very interesting. Like I said, I haven't had this hop before, so it's a little different for me. One thing, though, there's something very harpoon about it, and I don't know if maybe it's the yeast that they use in a lot of their beers. And I think with something like this, maybe they even, if this is what I'm tasting and smelling, is like their regular yeast, maybe they should have used something different for this. It's very good, though. It's a very different kind of hop. I can't think of anything offhand I've had quite like this.
From what I've heard, medium is body. The Glacier is more of an aromatic.
Yeah. It's definitely...
Maybe citrusy.
I mean, the aromas are there. You could smell it, you know, even coming... When I was pouring, as opposed to, you know, putting it right up to the nose, you could smell that very citrusy.
Yeah.
It's kind of a combination between citrusy and flowery. So it's got medium body. It's a good carbonation. There's a real good balance here. It's got some bitterness, but it's balanced. Dry. I'm getting some other kind of fruit in there too that I can't quite pinpoint. Are we going to pair this with anything?
Pear?
There's a...
Pears.
Pear?
There's this Malaysian kind of spicy grilled chicken
with pears.
I don't know if you guys know that there's this chicken that they marinate and they kind of split and kind of grill it face down. I think it's got like spatchcock chicken or something like that, where they marinate it and they kind of have it kind of split open and on the grill.
Haven't heard of that, definitely sounds pair really it good.
Something like this. Yeah, it's a just spicy grilled chicken. Malaysia, I think it's got like lemongrass and garlic and stuff like that.
Love lemongrass. And I love garlic.
I think that would be a really, really good pairing with this because it won't overpower, even if it's spicy. This is a very good, like, American pale ale. And I think that's the category that this falls under. It's a... Wow. I really like this. This whole Glacier hop thing. I was very curious about it. And, I'm not disappointed.
Sweet.
Ooh. No, it's dry, actually.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
It's a drink of the week. Drink of the week. It's
Nothing like salsa says, liquor before beer, never fear. Yes, it's true, but it takes real skill to work eye both ways. Been switching back and forth all night, and I still dance. It's a dream of the week. Dream of the week. It's the dream of the week. Dream. Dream of the week, yeah. Time for some backwash. Let's check the beer coaster's email and hotline.
Backwash. Time for some backwash.
Time to wash your back.
Check the beer coaster's email.
Wash your back?
Wash them.
Wash them? That's like Texas, huh? Wash.
I don't know. My dad says it. He's originally from Seattle, and he says wash.
Wash.
You know, wash the clothes. Wash all the right. Dishes. Whoop.
This is our backwash section. This is where we get our email feedback, either via the website or our
Facebook or our email or
our
whatever we feel like putting up there.
Backwash line or whatever it is, which we always mention in the last call as well. But
or
Chris,
made
you
up.
Got a little bit of backwash for us. What you got?
This is actually from Facebook. I got a short little clip from Tom Hudson. He just said, I got an email from Beer Goddess from Beer Knerd. I'm sure it's pronounced Knerd. Beer Nerd. But it's
Beer Knerd.
BeerKnerd.com. Spelt BeerKnurd.
It's that partner's free there. By the way, they're Beer Knerd, so if BeerKnerd.com doesn't have the Beer Coasters podcast on it, we're going to be angry.
Well, it's that's actually the website for Flying Saucer, which is
Oh, that's right. That's where I recognize that from, Flying Saucer.
It has a one cool craft beer place in Texas, for sure.
It is, absolutely. It's very
I love
cool.
The Flying Saucer.
Good craft beer pub.
Anyway, it says, got an email from Beer Goddess from BeerNerd.com Wednesday afternoon telling me that they had just tapped a Dogfish Head pumpkin ale at the Flying Saucer in Garland. They had a whole event going on with a one-of-the-kind glass that they were giving out, which I'm kind of bummed I missed. But glad you guys did a pumpkin show, though. That's from Tom Hudson.
Dude, pumpkin and beer, and we're like, yeah, and they're like, okay, and they're like, yeah.
First place, yeah.
First place. Love you, Sam.
You know, he did a book with DK Publishing, who's like a big publisher for travel magazine or travel Parker books Park. And stuff. They're really cool. It's a beer book that's all about beer. It just has a bunch of beer reviews. It wouldn't really be good for a book report, but
cool.
He You're actually did the book boring. for D. I don't know if you no. It's just, I don't know if you guys have ever seen DK Publishing. They do a lot of like travel guides.
I've seen DC.
Uh-huh. No,
those are comics.
Yeah, no, DK Publishing. Lots of like really high color.
Cool Next stuff. Week on Beer Coasters. I'm Batman, and we're reviewing beer.
So anyway, that's all I got for Backwash this week. You guys got anything?
Speaking of Backwash, did you see Community this week? Or last week for the Halloween show? Sorry, we'll save that for another podcast. Halloween show is hilarious.
It's a great show.
Looks like we got a little bit more. All right, then. I guess that's it. We're going to move on to last call.
Let's go to last call, dude. Yeah, guys. Last call.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Last call.
Yeah. Finally, this day has come to an end. Jeez.
I know.
This is like the longest episode ever.
Ever. even though it's the exact same length as all our other podcasts.
No, I think it's
this one
be
was
longer.
Long.
I actually don't think it will be.
We'll see. Well, let's get this last call wrapped up, shall we? Let's go over our pint ratings this week. And the first up for our pint ratings this week is Toby. Rate them.
Okay.
Rate those pints.
So the Vertical Epic 090909 from Stone.
9909.
I like it. I think it's complex. I think it's really, really good. I'm going to go with a 4.5. I'm not sure exactly why I'm not going with a 5, but I don't think it's picture perfect. I think it's just, it's interesting. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. I mean, it's an Imperial Porter with Belgian yeast. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. So 4.5, really enjoyed it. As far as the Mirror Mirror goes from Deschutes, I'm going to go with a 3.5. I think it's a good representation of a barley wine. Now, it is supposed to reach its peak in April of next year, of 2010. So I'm going to pick up another bottle, and I'm going to wait until then and see what it is.
See if they lied to you.
I like it. I think it's good. It's getting me pretty tore up, so that's good. but it's nice. It's I say 3.5. It's good middle of the road. It's a good barley wine. It's what you would expect out of a barley wine. But I am going to try it again in April, see if it's aged any different. All right.
Chris, what do you think about our beers this week?
Well, I gotta say, I'm really conflicted about this week because
it's conflicted.
Stone is probably my favorite brewery, and the Vertical Epic series
California
is, you know, I've been collecting them since 04, so you know I'm dedicated to the series.
He's a collector.
When I first heard about this year's edition with the tangerine peel and the vanilla and all that stuff, I was extremely excited. And the idea of an Imperial Porter and all that good stuff. I think it's unfair for me to review it at this point. I'm not saying I'm not going to. But I think this beer needs a little bit more time to age. I'm going with a 3 pints at this point.
Whoa.
It wasn't bad by any means. It was still a tasty beer. But I think that it needs a little bit more time to grow into itself than what it's had so far. So I think, you know, in another year, I think it'll be an excellent beer. But right now, it's just an okay kind of, you know, not too spectacular. It has a little bit more bite to it than I would have expected. So I'm hoping that it mellows out a bit as it grows a little bit older. So 3 pints out of 5 for me.
Chris likes his older beers.
Yeah. I'm a cougar chaser. The St. Arnold Divine Reserve number 8, I'm actually pretty impressed with. I haven't been a big fan of this brewery. I've tried a couple things from them and thought it was okay. You know, decent stuff. I'm
from
gonna
St.
Give
Arnold?
It a, yeah.
We hail them like every few podcasts.
Oh, yes.
But it's not so much the brewery that we're hailing
but
as
Saint
the
Arnold,
Saint Arnold himself. Yeah. But for the Divine Reserve number 8, I'm going to give it 4.5 pints.
Wow.
Within the style of a Scotch ale wee heavy, I really liked the smoke character in it and the appley sweetness, and I really liked this beer a lot. I thought it was really tasty. So, yeah, I'm going to go with 4.5 pints on it. That's where I sit with mine.
All right. With me, the Vertical Epic, I have been toggling back and forth with my rating here between 3.5 and 4. Yes.
Toggle in my own private place.
No, but, no, I've been going back and forth between 3.5 and 4. I think it's a solid, complex porter, but I feel like it's kind of a normal release for Stone as opposed to with the Vertical Epic. I just feel like with the Vertical Epic, it should be, like all their beers should kind of be that step above, and even if you try it kind of before its time, it should be apparent that, hey, you're tasting this before its maturity. And I don't know if you are with this one or not. So anyway,
Stone has kind of matured, I don't know, a little bit themselves up to these high expectations, and when you go to try something from Stone, you're just like, okay, this is going to blow my mind.
Right. And
when
I'm ready to get slapped in the face with flavor,
right?
And yeah,
when it doesn't, are you that let down? I mean.
I do think that feeds with mine. I think that feeds into my rating because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a huge fan of Stone. It's by far my favorite brewery. I've been a big fan of theirs for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I was expecting more out of this, you know, and I think that it will age well, and I think it'll turn into something great. But right now it's just not at that level that I was hoping for.
Yeah. And I kind of agree, and I'm honestly torn. This is the first beer where I can't quite put a perfect rating on it because it's really between back and forth between the 3.5 and 4. This may be a first, but maybe I'm going to give it a 3.75, which I don't normally do. I think we're doing like a half most of the time, but that's what I'm going to do. And there's a reason for it, and it'll remind me when I read the rating back why I did that. For the other beer, for my Harpoons, the 100 Barrel Series Glacier Harvest 09 Wet Hop Ale Session 28, which is possibly the longest title for any beer I've ever tried here on the Beer Coasters podcast, I'm going to give that 4 pints. It was very interesting. A good, solid American Pale Ale rates way up there in the American Pale Ales for me. If I were to rate it in that category, I might even rate it higher. But this is kind of a special release, kind of an ambiguous style as far as the rating goes here. But it's a really interesting beer. It's the first time I've had Glacier hops. I was excited to try it, and I was not disappointed. So that's my rating for that. And as soon as I can close a couple windows here, I can get through the rest of our last call. Here we go.
So, I love technology.
So our individual shout-outs. I'm going to tell you to check out Harpoon Brewery, which I've given the website earlier on. I don't have it in front of me. But the first up for individual shout-outs is Toby.
Well, I'm going to say check out DeschutesBrewing.com. They were my tasting flight today with a mirror. You can check out their Reserve series. They've got some other interesting beers in there. And Lee's Discount Liquor here in Las Vegas. Let's step it up, fellas. Let's get some nice info out there for our fellow beer drinkers.
Yeah, we don't want to have to blame the podcast on Lee's Liquors from week to week.
No. I love Lee's, man. They're awesome. They've got great beer selection here in Las Vegas. But when it comes to certain things, certain time of the year, this year, for some reason, I don't know what's been going on with the distributor. So, hell yeah.
How about you, Chris? What you got?
Well, I got a couple little shout outs to do. First, I want to give a shout out to Roy and Mike at Market Street, the grocery store here that I get most of my beers from. They went out of their way. Mike actually is the one that provided the Vertical Epic to me. They don't actually sell this in Texas, so he was able to pick up a bottle for me, and I really, really appreciate that.
Nice.
My tasting flight for this week was from St. Arnold, which you can visit at starnold.com. And then the other thing I wanted to say is if you want to catch up with my book report for next week, the first ever Beer Coasters book report. Pick up Drinking with George, A Barstool Professional's Guide to Beer. You can pick that up at any of the online booksellers, Amazon, Borders.com, whatever. And I'll be reviewing that next week.
Cool. Did you know that you can follow us on Twitter? We are...
I did.
Beer Coasters Pod on Twitter. I'm still angry about, but we'll discuss that in a different show. You can follow us on Facebook as well. If you search Beer Coasters Podcast, you can find us on Facebook and you can become a fan.
You can be a fan.
We also have individual emails. And if you want to reach Beer Coaster Toby, he's going to give you the address and how to get that.
Toby at beercoasterspodcast.com.
How convenient. How about you, Chris?
It's cool how it works out that way.
Well, you can either follow me on Twitter at bcoasterchris, or you can individually email me, chris at beercoasterspodcast.com.
That's Chris's way of messing with me.
Oh, yeah, I'm beercoaster Toby on Twitter.
Yeah, and I'm beercoaster Mike on Twitter. We haven't done this 26 times.
Yeah! 26, baby! Half a year, bulls.
But our individual emails are...
We just did that.
we did that, so you're left. What's yours?
I'm Mike at beercoasterspodcast.com.
There we go. And how about if they wanted to give us backwash,
you know
Toby?
What, Chris? If they wanted to give us backwash, they can go to backwash at beercoasterspodcast.com. And you can also leave audio backwash by dialing 972-914-8502.
What if they can't remember the number and they wanted to just go to the website and still leave us some audio backwash? Well, how would they do that?
They can go to the website and down at the bottom you can click on the call me button and it will put in your phone number and it will call you and you can leave your backwash that way. And you can post your comments on the website for each episode. You just go to the episode and it says comments. You click on that. You can leave yourself a little comment on the particular episode.
And that website would be beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast in iTunes. Just search for Beer Coasters. And as always, check the website on Monday for the next time on Beer Coasters, where you can pick up the beers that we'll be trying the next week and pick them up and drink along with us.
Mike, are you the redheaded stepchild?
No. Tell your friends. Tell your friends, friends.
No.
And tell your friends that if you're doing a podcast, to tell your neighbors to not mow the fucking lawn while you're trying to do a podcast. And thanks for listening. And thanks for all the backwash. You know how much backwash we get on this show.
But we do appreciate every little bit that we get.
Yes. We love backwash. It's our favorite part of the beer, is backwash. And don't forget to support your local brewery by drinking local. And, of course, don't drink and drive.
And if you have any comments or suggestions or your favorite beer bar, let us know. We would really like to hear some of your favorite beers and bars in your area. And if we're ever in that area, we'll be glad to go check them out and have a beer with you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, buddy.
This episode was special. Short bus special.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
I'm on the go, I'm on the go. Them bad man, I want to stop me go. Chano, I'm on the go, I'm on the go. But them can't play me like no puppy show. Cause, yeah,
make me special. And so special, so special, so special. That's why I'm strapped with my 45 special. They want premium for girl and they want chase like petrol. But ja, make me special. And so special, so special, so special. That's why I'm strapped with my 45 special. They want premium for girl and they want chase like petrol. But